Hey there, Renegades. This is Tampa Earl, and welcome to the Renegades Radio Podcast. You've come across a shorter version of what we do at RenegadesRadio.com, which is play anything, anytime, anywhere. Now, the advantage of the Renegades Radio Podcast is that we can take an hour or so to delve deeper into a subject, hopefully one that you'll find interesting. Sometimes it's fun to look back in the annals of time to what music was like in the past. Sometimes those occasions were great, and in some cases there was a great deal of tragedy. Either way, it gives us an opportunity to listen to some of the legends in the business and relive their greatness. We're going to start this episode of the Renegades Radio Podcast by looking back to April 3rd, 1969. The Doors' Jim Morrison turned himself over to the FBI in Los Angeles for 6 counts of lewd behavior and public exposure during a concert in March in Miami, Florida. At the Dinner Key Auditorium in Miami on March 1st, the Doors were scheduled to perform. The venue wasn't exactly pristine. There was no air conditioning in what was basically an airplane hangar, and the band's manager, Bill Siddons, and the promoter had been squabbling for most of the day. When a visibly drunk Morrison showed up for the show, with 12,000 fans in attendance in an outlet that only sat 7,000, the powder keg was ready to explode. Only 2 songs into the set, Morrison had already dropped several expletives, allegedly a result of his viewing of an antagonistic style of performance art. He took the police cap off an officer on stage and tossed it into the crowd and encouraged the fans in attendance to get naked. Morrison himself was shirtless, but never showed anything more contrary to legend. This didn't stop the Dade County Sheriff's Office from filing charges, which Morrison surrendered to in April 1969. The trumped-up charges from the sheriff resulted in a conviction for Morrison, one that was still under appeal when he died in 1970. The legend of that show was just that, a legend. As it was eventually proven that the charges were false, Morrison was posthumously pardoned in 2010. As a tribute to Morrison, let's hear the song that sparked the madness in Miami that night in 1969. Here's Touch Me on the Renegades Radio Podcast.
Come on, come on, come on, now touch me, babe. Can't you see that I am not afraid? What was that promise that you made? Why won't you tell me what she said? What was that promise that you made? Now I'm gonna love you till the heavens stop the rain. Come on, come on, come on, come on, now touch me, babe. Can't you see that I am not afraid? What was that promise that you made? Why won't you tell me what she said? What was that promise that you made? I'm gonna love you till the heavens stop the rain. I'm gonna love you till the stars fall from the sky for you and I. I'm gonna love you till the heavens stop the rain. Stars fall from the sky for you and I. Come
apology. Anybody else would surely know he's watching her go. But who believes? He sees the wise man has the power to reason away what seems.
So why would you care?
Trippin' Billies with the Dave Matthews Band, looking back at the month of April on the Renegades Radio Podcast. Why did DMB make the show? Well, back on April 30th, 2005, the band agreed to pay $200,000 in damages to a boatload of tourists in Chicago. Why? Well, let's just say that the band decided to empty their septic tanks from their tour bus while on a bridge. And I'm sure you can paint the picture from there. We also heard from the Doobie Brothers, being celebrated for a better reason. That song, What a Fool Believes, hit number one on April 14th, 1979. Now, in what was one of the stranger stories we came across while researching this subject for the podcast, the Illinois Crime Commission was a subject that came up. In 1971, the city of Chicago was ravaged by the Chicago Outfit, a mafia-based organization that featured leaders such as Al Capone, Frank Nitti, Paul Rica, Tony Accardo, and Sal Giacana. So what did the Illinois Crime Commission focus on? Publishing a list of drug-oriented records that the youth of the state needed to stay away from. There were some interesting choices by the ICC on the list, so why don't we play a few? Here's what probably set them off, the classic from Brewer and Shipley, One Toke Over the Line, on the Renegades Radio Podcast.
Thank you. takes it first, just go sleep. Turn the wider shade off.
Get up and tell you where to go. autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Puff and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Puff, the magic dragon, lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Puff, the magic dragon, lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Together they would travel on a boat with billowed sail. Jackie kept a lookout perched on Puff's gigantic tail. Noble kings and princes would bow whene'er they came. Pirate ships would lower their flags when Puff roared out his name. Oh, Puff, the magic dragon, lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Puff, the magic dragon, lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. A dragon lives forever, but not so little boys. Painted wings and giant's rings make way for other toys. One gray night it happened, Jackie Paper came no more. And Puff, that mighty dragon, he ceased his fearless roar. His head was bent in sorrow, green scales fell like rain. Puff no longer went to play along the cherry lane. Without his lifelong friend, Puff could not be brave. So Puff, that mighty dragon, sadly slipped into his cave. Oh, Puff, the magic dragon, lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Puff, the magic dragon, lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu.
One of the great folk songs from the 1960s. That's Peter, Paul, and Mary with Puff. That was the title of the song. Its subtitle included the magic dragon part. While it was put on the list of songs deemed drug-oriented by the Illinois Crime Commission in April 1971, it was actually written by Leonard Lipton in 1959 and based on an Ogden Nash poem called Custard the Dragon. Lipton's friend Peter Yarrow, the Peter in Peter, Paul, and Mary, was a friend of Lipton's at Cornell, and 3 years after Lipton wrote the lyrics, Yarrow put them to music, and the rest, as they say, is history. Also in the mix there were Procol Harum with their memorable hit A Whiter Shade of Pale, and Jefferson Airplane, whose White Rabbit was actually about the story Alice in Wonderland. Honest! Perhaps not surprisingly, the Beatles were also on that list from the Illinois Crime Commission, and not just once. But we're going to look back to 1970, when the Beatles as a group were allegedly still together, but for all practical purposes, John, Paul, George, and Ringo were no longer together. On April 10th, Paul McCartney made it official when he announced he had quit the Beatles. Oddly enough, it was an April Saturday in 1975 when Saturday Night Live producer Lorne Michaels made his historic and funny on-air offer to the Beatles to reunite on the SNL stage for the staggering sum of $3,000. Another strange oddity is the day after McCartney announced he was quitting the Beatles, they would have one of their biggest hits. On April 11th, 1970, the Beatles would hit number one with this song, Let It Be, on the Renegades Radio Podcast.
when I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. But though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer, let it be.
That was the soulful sound of Marvin Gaye with Sexual Healing on the Renegades Radio podcast. April's a tough month for the Gaye family, as Marvin was born on April 2, 1948. But on April 1, 1984, an argument broke out between Gaye's parents, with Marvin stepping in to separate the two. His father, Marvin Gaye Sr., retaliated against his son by pulling a gun and shooting him twice. Gaye was killed immediately at the age of 45, and his father, while being tried for murdering his son, was found to have an inoperable brain tumor. Gaye Sr.'s first-degree murder charge was dropped to voluntary manslaughter, and he was found guilty. Gaye Sr. would serve no jail time in getting a 6-year suspended sentence, and in 1998, he passed away. Another musical legend that was taken far too soon was the incomparable Prince. In April 2016, Prince would perform his final concert at the Fox Theater in Atlanta, Georgia, and perform his memorable classic, Purple Rain, for his adoring fans. Coming back from the shows in Georgia to his home in Minneapolis, Prince became unresponsive to his entourage, and his plane made an emergency landing in Moline, Illinois. Once revived, Prince refused medical attention and continued the flight home, with official press releases stating that he was suffering from dehydration and the flu. On April 21st, Carver County, Minnesota 911 received a call from the Paisley Park compound that Prince called home. The call initially stated that a mysterious someone was unconscious, then eventually stated that Prince had been found unresponsive in an elevator on the grounds. When emergency personnel arrived, Prince had already been dead for about 6 hours, and with the medical examiner on the scene, he was pronounced dead at 57 from an accidental overdose of fentanyl. Hard to believe it's been 3 years since that fateful day, but let's remember the Purple One as he would want. Here's Purple Rain on the Renegades Radio podcast.
I never meant to call you when you're sorrow. I never meant to call you when you're pain. I don't want to want that I see you laughing.
Bye. you better close it. And let me guide you to the purple rain.
baby.
This is the Renegades Radio Podcast, and that was Queen Bey. That's right, not B, but Bey, Beyoncé, who became the first woman to headline Coachella just last year in April with her big solo smash Crazy in Love, and a tune from her days with the group she reunited with during those Coachella shows, Destiny's Child and Bootylicious. Beyoncé broke the door down for this year's headliner at Coachella, Ariana Grande, who put on a scorching performance on the first weekend of the festival this year. With that, we're going to end the history lesson for this week's broadcast. But come on back for the next Renegades Radio Podcast, when we'll look at something that is making a comeback in the music industry. There used to be collaborations between artists, songs where singers or bands from different generations or genres come together to perform an original song or a remake. But it seemingly died out in the 90s. The 21st century has seen a comeback in these musical collaborations, however, and we'll take a look at those that work and those that don't. I'm Tampa Earl, and you're listening to the Renegades Radio Podcast. If you would like to listen to more like what we've offered here, be sure to join us at renegadesradio.com and follow us on social media, on Twitter at renegades_radio, on Facebook at www.facebook.com/RenegadeRadio, RenegadeRadio, and on Instagram. Yes, we're now on Instagram at Renegades Radio. And if you'd like to contact the Renegades Radio Podcast, be sure to email us at TampaEarl@RenegadesRadio.com.